Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me for this special Lost retrospective edition are Las Vegas Weekly contributing editor Ken Miller and Las Vegas Weekly arts and entertainment editor Spencer Patterson. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Josh. So Lost ended. The final episode aired a few days ago, and we've had sort of a few days to digest, think about it. And I guess we'll start right now with just general thoughts about the finale. How did the show wrap up? Are we satisfied? Are we not satisfied? Who wants to start? Spencer?
Well, Ken and I have actually been talking about it a little bit this week. I thought the stuff on the island ended pretty well. I wasn't so sure about the way the actual episode ended in the church. I thought that was a little bit tough to take.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I thought it was way over the top. I told Spencer that I felt like it was Field of Dreams, and I almost expected Jack and his dad to play catch.
So. Well, but I mean, I think the show has had like this sort of streak of emotion and sentiment and mysticism throughout its run. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't disagree. I think that the action on the island was much more satisfying. But the more I thought about the other stuff in the church and how everything turns out to be sort of an afterlife, the more I kind of liked that as closure for the characters and their sort of emotional connections to each other.
I liked the stuff off the island in terms of the way the various characters like had their awakenings and hooked up together. I thought that emotionalism was great. I thought that really made the final show. But once they went to the church and Jack's dad got involved and you know, then it was sort of the afterlife-y thing. That's when I was left kind of unsure about how I felt about the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I mean, I was entertained. I thought it was a pretty solid 2 hours. But overall, I think I fall into that camp of people who really wanted answers to questions as opposed to a feeling of closure. So I'm mixed.
See, I don't know. I mean, I think that's been one of the common complaints from people online, on message boards and commentaries and things like that, is that not enough things are answered. Ultimately, it turns out to be sort of a catch-all, like, well, it was mystical, it was magical, and that sort of explains everything.
Sort of like just it's that crazy island.
You know, right.
That's sort of the how you have to write off a lot of the answers.
Yeah, or that Jacob kind of just did stuff the way that Jacob did it. And, you know, there's the part at the end where when Hurley has been designated the protector, the new protector of the island, and Ben is going to be his lieutenant, and Hurley says something about how he doesn't like all the secrets or something like that, and Ben says, well, that's how Jacob did it, I think, which sort of implies that, like, the answer to a lot of questions is like, well, Jacob just did it that way because that was Jacob. And I don't know. I mean, I think I'm okay with that.
I mean, I didn't watch the show with a list and feel like everything had to be checked off.
No.
I'm okay with, like, some things you just have to use your own imagination and just kind of accept. I'm okay with that. I would have liked a couple of bigger issues to be, you know, to be solved, like, especially sort of like, what is the island? I mean,
right.
I think that was something we were expecting to get from day one, and we didn't really get it. Instead, the focus was on, you know, what's going to happen to these characters, which is cool, except, again, like I said, I didn't necessarily love what did happen to them at the very, very end
right.
of the show.
So. Right. I mean, I think if we want to know, like, what is the island, if the more they spell it out, and if you look at, like, past episodes in this season where they've spelled things out explicitly, I think it ended up being sort of disappointing because it ends up being kind of mundane and unexciting, and I would almost rather not know what is the island. The answer is the island is some mysterious thing. I would almost rather have that be the answer than, like, well, the island was built in this year by these people,
right.
And this is why, and here's a schematic of it or something. You know, I don't know if that would have been any more satisfying.
Well, as opposed to the other, you know, side of the equation, which is this stuff exists, just deal with it. It's kind of like when you watch this show in retrospect. I mean, I'm looking forward to going back and watching it from episode one, which I plan to do soon, because I think I watch it a lot differently now that I know, you know, what they had in mind all along. But I mean, let's face it, this show was built on a fan base that was demanding answers to questions. That was the whole appeal of the show is what does this mean? What do you think this means?
Yeah.
And maybe the whole point was that they just wanted to get people talking. They weren't interested in answering questions, just getting the fan base talking about the show.
Right.
And mission accomplished.
True.
So, I mean, maybe we're just nitpicking here, but I still find myself you know, with these nagging questions that I try not to think about too much because it kind of ruins it for me. I mean, I still want to know why no babies could be born on the right. island. That really is a big sticking point for me.
Well, I mean, there's one part where
and I feel like that could have been explained without it feeling like, oh, well, that's now that I know, it's just ridiculous. I feel like they could have dealt with that in a way within the confines of the world they created that would have made sense.
Right. But I mean, I think there's also cases where with something like that where you can extrapolate your own answer.
It had something to do with like Jacob's mother or having killed the mother right after she gave birth.
Another reason I'm looking forward to watching the show again.
Right.
See, I think when I watch the show again, I'm actually going to be sort of disappointed because then it's going to remind me about all these things that weren't answered that I've sort of forgotten about right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched the final episode. I watched the whole show more or less in real time. So at that point, I only had two or three things in mind that weren't answered. But I have a feeling there's actually like dozens of other ones that, you know, I just forgotten about over time. And I think going back and watching it, which I do plan to do, is just going to sort of bug me a little bit more.
I mean, I think that brings up an interesting question, which is if you are not satisfied by the finale, and I think for us, we were at least on some levels all fairly satisfied with it. But for people who are less satisfied or people who are completely dissatisfied, I mean, does that change your enjoyment? If you enjoyed the show up to now and the finale kind of doesn't satisfy you, does that change the way that you feel about the show as a whole? I mean, I don't think that it should. I think if you're entertained along the way and you enjoyed that, there's no really like way to retroactively make it not good. But I think for a lot of people, it was really all riding on whether the finale worked. And if the finale doesn't work, they're saying, screw this show.
Well, it's the way probably some people feel like the Star Wars sequels have now tainted the originals to the point where they can't even like sort of retroactively enjoy them, whether it's actually to go back and watch them or just to like in their own head feel like they enjoyed them. You know, things that happened towards the end have like changed the way they feel. I mean, I think the way I felt after the finale was I wish there was more Lost. So I think for me, I still enjoy the series as a whole. I think that's the test. But I think there are some people, like you said, who were so upset about the way it ended or just the whole finale that, you know, they probably don't look at it as a good experience and don't want to watch any of them again.
Yeah, I think the unfortunate thing about most successful shows is that there's really not a perfect way to end a show. I mean, there have been a few over time, over the history of television. But in general, you know, shows that are popular tend to last longer than they probably should.
Right.
Which usually sets up an inevitably lame ending or a forgettable ending or, you know, one that people absolutely hate and ruins the show for them. But I thought in this case, you know, I know the history of Lost, they didn't intend for it to go this long. I think they knew that they were filling time, so to speak, in some cases. But I think, as I understand it, this is the ending that they really wanted.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I think is going to be interesting is to go and watch the first season again, because I think the first season is where you're going to find most of what you really need to really enjoy the show. Because that's the season that I remember the strongest, because they focused on the characters the most in that season, and there was more of that emotional impact that this last episode had.
Right. I think this whole last season had a lot of that. I mean, that was, I think, what I liked a lot about it is that, like, all these characters that we spent all this time with, including some of whom maybe that we hadn't seen for a while, we really get to understand them better and to spend time with them, to see into their lives. And I appreciated that. And I think rather than a bunch of question answering, I was glad to see these characters that I cared about for six seasons and spend some more time with them in these last few episodes. So, I mean, obviously that's a perspective that a lot of people don't share, I think.
Sure.
But, I mean, I think that's really the only way that you can come at this show and be satisfied by it. Because if you're coming at it with that checklist or that frustration of where are the answers to my questions, then no matter what, you're going to end up dissatisfied.
I think, like, in a cynical way, I was thinking about the last episode after the fact and wondering if all the stuff off the island, which was good, like I said, up to the end for me, you know, could have been a way for them to sort of keep our eye off the ball, which was we're not really answering a lot of the big questions that most people thought we would answer, but instead we're going to give you something else satisfying. And I think a lot of people found that stuff satisfying, the you know, interplay between the characters that hadn't seen each other in a long time and all those awakenings. So, you know, for me, there still is like an element of disappointment, but I, but I still liked it more than I didn't. I would guess most people probably weren't 100% satisfied. Right. I think with a show like that, it's almost going to be impossible
there's
to
no
do
way.
That.
Yeah.
I knew it. So.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought was kind of humorous thinking about this show afterwards is that the way they structured the final season, they actually allowed themselves two endings. So, I mean, you could say, you know, that the show actually has two different, you know, distinct endings.
Yeah.
Right. So, on the island and off the island.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, in terms of, you know, bang for your buck, I think they did as much as they probably could for the viewers. Thinking about it, I'm not sure how I would have improved it.
Yeah. I mean, I
can definitely say how I would have improved previous seasons.
Right.
But in terms
of
the finale, not so much.
Yeah. I mean, and I appreciated too that it didn't suddenly throw a bunch of things in that we had never seen before. You know, it seemed like an outgrowth of all the episodes that had come before in that season. And I've certainly watched shows where you get to the end and all of a sudden it's like, what is going on? Who are these people? Why is this important? And I never felt that way about this. So, I mean, that I think is a good product of them having been able to plan for the last few years, knowing where the end was and being able to build to it in an organic way so that it didn't feel too rushed or like it came out of nowhere. So let's move on and talk a little bit about the show as a whole, because obviously the finale is not the be-all, end-all. I mean, this was a six-season, six-year experience, and there's a lot of great television going on here, I think, outside of the ultimate end or the ultimate answer to what was going on. So we looking back, let's talk about what our favorite episodes were of the show. And before we started recording, we were kind of going back and forth about a lot of different episodes and, you know, what they did well. But if you had to pick one episode, Ken, what would be your favorite?
Well, my personal favorite was it's my favorite because for me, it salvaged the show. I was about to give up. And because of this episode, I stuck in till the end. It's the episode that ends season three. Mm-hmm. It's the 2-hour episode where you realize for the first time that you're not seeing flashbacks. You're actually seeing flash forwards.
Right.
That was an amazing episode from start to finish. And, you know, the final line, Jack saying, "We have to go back." I mean, it was just, you know, I got chills watching that episode.
Right.
So, yeah, that for me is probably the standout.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I definitely think that was a place where the show was faltering that whole season, especially the beginning of that season where the characters are stuck in cages and it really felt drawn out. And I mean, I remember, and Spencer, you and I
bring this up. You and I wrote about it.
Yes.
And, we each took an opposite point of view and I defended Heroes, which is like, you know, humiliating now. And you picked Lost. And I at the time, I honestly felt like Heroes was headed in a much better direction.
To be fair, this was after Heroes' first season,
which was excellent. It was about 3 weeks before the end of their first season, when it basically died.
Yes.
And so it was like the peak of Heroes and probably the low point of Lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, so but I was. I mean, I think both of us and other people I know actually did jump off the show
and
stopped watching. So I agree with Ken. That was a big moment because it definitely, you know, refocused everybody.
Right. And I think that may be the point where you realize they have this much bigger long-term plan in effect that we're going to see sort of going forward. So, Spencer, a favorite episode?
I mean, I think it's an obvious one, but the episode that started, I guess it was season two, where they actually open in the hatch, but at first you don't realize. I think really like the first couple of minutes of that episode were amazing.
The record on the record player.
Right, yes. All the things that were going on inside the hatch. And I think we were conditioned to think that it was something off the island. There was a flashback of some sort. We were trying to figure out what character could this be. And then as we start to realize this is actually happening inside the hatch, inside the island, you know, on the island, that was great. And, you know, finding out more about Desmond and all those things were great, and it's just, you know, the numbers in terms of typing them into the computer and all those things.
And the introduction of all the Dharma design.
Right. I think we saw the first film, the first Dharma film that day. And I remember just being completely mesmerized by the film and by, you know, Pierre Chang's character.
Right.
And just it opened up a whole new world on the island. So
For
me, that would definitely stick out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's amazing sort of to think that as important as Desmond is to the sort of overall mythology, that we didn't even see him until that point, you know, in the second season. And then he's in like that first episode, and I think he's in the last episode of season two, and he's not even in the rest of it. And, it, you know, it's hard to imagine Lost without Desmond, given how important he was. But
absolutely.
We didn't even see him until
that. A little side note, that was actually one of my disappointments about the last episode, was I was hoping to see some kind of reunion with him and Penny. I just, I really cared about those two characters, and I was hoping to see that. So.
Right.
I
mean, which they were together in the church for some reason. I'm not quite sure why she was in the church, but that's a nitpicky thing.
Well, I mean, I think
thing.
The idea is that these are the people who were significant in their lives or whatever like
it
that.
It did feel a little to me like sort of convenient coupling, like, you know, well, let's make sure everyone has a significant other and we can pair them off in the church, apart from, I guess, Boone. Maybe in her
And Locke doesn't get his.
That's true.
You know,
she wasn't there.
Right. So. I guess you could. I don't know. Did Jack end up with Kate there in the end of the church?
It felt like maybe. Yeah. Kind of. But, but anyway, that's
right. That is. I mean, and I think too, though, like in the On Island where Desmond at the end of the show it seems like he's okay and he's on the island with Hurley and Ben, but you don't know, like, is he going to get back off and see Penny? I mean, that was such an important thing for his character. So
right.
That is a little dissatisfying.
No, I definitely enjoyed the character of Desmond. That was one of the parts of the show I really looked forward to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the characters that were most interesting were the ones that were kind of ambiguous in terms of, you know, like Ben, Locke, Desmond. For me, those were the most fun because they were, you weren't quite sure what their motivations were. You weren't quite sure if they were, you know, quote, good guys or bad guys.
And, right.
There were just a lot of strange things about them. And the more straightforward characters, I thought, with time became a little less interesting.
Right, and I think sometimes those were the characters that they tended to kill off early because, you know, they realized that there's only so many places they can take those characters.
Like a Boone
or Shannon, or people like that. Going back to favorite episodes, my personal favorite, I think those finales and the season openers and season finales are the ones where a lot of times the most significant plot development happens. But I think my favorite episode is I believe it's the third or fourth episode in the first season, which is called Walkabout, where you first realize that Locke had been in a wheelchair and now can walk. And I think that was the first moment, you know, in those first few episodes, it's exciting, it's an adventure story, and you realize something maybe mysterious is going on this island, but you don't know to what extent it's supernatural or it's just explainable. And that was the episode, I think, where you realize, wow, there's a whole world of stuff going on here that we're about to discover. And that to me was like a moment where I was blown away, where I was like, wow, this show is just operating on a whole other level from, you know, what else I'm watching on TV.
Well, it was also the beginning of the Locke saga, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole storyline I thought was just fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I do want to quickly put in a plug for the most maligned episode, I think, which is Exposé, the Nikki and Paolo backstory episode.
I personally hate it as much as everybody else. I mean, I don't think it was. I haven't seen it probably since it aired. But
yeah,
I mean, I don't think it was as horrific as it's become, you know, known to be.
I think it's.
But maybe it is. I don't.
I mean, I think it was a fun. It was something that they didn't really do on Lost very much, which is that it was a self-contained story. It had its own beginning, middle, and end. It was clever. It was kind of poked fun at itself a little. And it was just super entertaining. I realize it's not important in the grand scheme. Nikki and Paolo were not in the church at the end.
But they did reference them.
They did,
in the final season,
didn't
like Miles.
Miles finds their diamonds that they've been buried.
He was able to communicate with the dead and find out what they have.
So. Right. But ultimately, their significance is very, very, very minor. Right. But still entertaining.
Ken doesn't like it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's the worst episode. My worst episode is coming later. But yeah, I think it was definitely an attempt to maybe lure in some people who maybe weren't Lost fans and give them a self-contained episode that anybody could get interested in. But that was kind of why I was bothered by it, because I feel like a show like Lost needs to stay in the world it creates. And if you're a fan, you know, you should get that reward for sticking with the show and not get this kind of generic stolen diamond subplot.
I mean, all we needed was
a tranquilizer, you know, needle with some, you know, serum dripping out of it. And, you know, I mean, it's just a ransom node
it also did connect to previous episodes, all of their previous appearances up to that point in that season, where you sort of saw a different angle on what they had done throughout. And I liked that, where everyone was complaining like, oh, they're useless, why are they here? And now you kind of see the other side of it and realize, well, here's why they're here. And maybe it's not about the big mythology, but at least from their perspective, this is what they're
doing. Like, wasn't there a classic moment where one of them flushed a toilet and then it turned out there was actually a reason for it?
Right.
And they obviously wrote backwards, but it still was kind of a
but
cool
I appreciated that. Right. So anyway, well, what is your least favorite episode, Ken? Because clearly you are dying to tell us.
Well, actually, my least favorite episode was this season. The hour they spent on Jacob and the Man in Black.
That was frustrating.
I really felt for the first time, wow, it is possible to fall asleep during a Lost episode. I couldn't believe we were being subjected to a whole hour of what I thought was a very obvious, you know, plot twist.
Yeah.
The only new information that we got from that was where the smoke monster came from, which was at the very last minute of the episode.
And probably it could have been handled in the next episode. I think Josh
right,
we talked
where Jacob
about this.
Kind of explains
Jacob could have just
things,
gone a little
yes.
further. They could have maybe shown that scene as some kind of a flashback and done away with a lot well, of
right.
And in addition, we get the introduction of the Allison Janney character. And again, I'm like, who is this? Where did she come from?
Right.
What? How did she become Guardian? So, yeah, very, very just overall annoying episode and very, very boring for me.
Yeah.
I saw everything in that episode coming minutes before everything happens.
Right.
It was just way too predictable.
And I think that's sort of an example of how when that's a whole episode that's giving you explanations for things, and it's clearly the weakest of the whole season. And so rather than see more of that, I was happier to see more of Jack and Kate and Sawyer and Hurley interacting and things like that.
Exactly. When you're a fan, you've got the final season coming. You know you've got like three episodes left. You want to see the island action. I mean, the writers have to know this information that, you know, the we want to know what's going on with the characters. We don't care about the backstory anymore. We feel like we've gotten enough of that. So anyway.
Yeah. Spencer, least favorite?
Well, I mean, I was going to say, I guess that reminded me that I thought the Richard episode in the final season, although not horrible, was also for me really disappointing because he was one of my favorite characters. He was one of the most interesting characters. And I felt like what it really did was like rob him of all of that. I thought after that, he was just kind of, we knew everything about him. So maybe it's another case where knowing too much can hurt. It was slow moving. I thought, you know, there was so much time of him in the ship, on the island, trying to get out of those chains. I just thought that I assumed he was like, you know, had a much more interesting backstory that he was like, had been there for, you know, forever. And it turned out it was only, what, maybe 100 years, which
yeah.
is a lot, but he wasn't, you know, 10,000 years old or whatever
yeah.
I thought he was. So, yeah, I thought that they kind of robbed him. And then honestly, for the rest of the season, I thought Richard was kind of a very average character at best.
Right.
And up to that point, he had been, like, arguably my favorite character. So.
And because his mystery, and once you lose the mystery, you lose a lot of the fascination.
Right.
And as well-written as this show is, I have to say that I audibly groaned when Miles leans over and pulls his gray hair out.
Yeah.
At the scene where they're trying to, like, get the plane ready. They're
right.
trying to get out the island. But he's
right.
got time to reach over and pluck the gray hair from Richard.
There is some poignancy, and that's a nice closure for his story that he's able to age and he's able to have sort of a normal life, which he was deprived of for
right.
all that
And he
time.
Does say, you know, now I want to live, which,
right.
was in contrast to him basically being ready to die
right.
the whole time. So.
Right. I appreciated that.
I didn't have a big problem with it either.
Well, that's we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. So.
And my least favorite episode is going back to the third season, which I think is one of the prime examples of when they were spinning their wheels and weren't able to move things forward. And I can't remember the title of it, but it's the episode where you learn the origin of Jack's tattoos. And I think this is
right.
a commonly held worst episode for a lot of people. And it was the prime example of telling us something that we didn't need to know, that nobody cared about, that was sort of given this fake significance that it didn't really have, in order for them to just go off on a tangent and spend another episode doing nothing so that they could delay the answers and the plot development because they didn't know when the show was going to end. And I think that right there is the best argument for why they needed that end date and they needed to be able to plan for the end. So
I do think once they got the end date, it focused the show, and the show was far better for it, even though, you know, personally, I would have liked to see it go on. I would have liked it on, you know, Sunday night for them to announce or, you know, well, actually, we do have another season. Surprise. I heard some people, you know, saying that might be the case. So I
yeah.
wish it had been.
I mean, I don't know. I'm happy that they were able to end where they wanted to end. I
sure.
appreciated that, you know, because they're the ones, you know, it's their vision. And I, you know, rather than having fans or network executives dictate how the story is going to go, I'm glad to see the creators be able to dictate that.
I guess while we're talking about least favorite things, I don't know
yeah.
if you were planning on doing this, but like one of my least favorite just overall things about the show
sure.
was the way they handled the Walt situation,
right.
Which I'm, you know, I wrote about for print this week, but I just think, you know, they cast a 12-year-old kid. And I know nobody knows whether their show is going to be picked up and how long it's going to go. But still, I mean, you have to go into things assuming they're going to work out. Otherwise, what's the point? So if that's the case, and you have to know. I mean, obviously different people hit puberty in a different way and at different times, but still they had to know, you know, there were some odds that it wasn't going to work out for this character, and they should have had a contingency plan, whether it was to film extra stuff and have it in the bank or, you know, and what I'm suggesting this week actually in print is that they should have just gone ahead and recast the character. And that would have been distracting, and some people I've mentioned it to absolutely hate the idea, but I still think in the long run it would have been better because I think Walt was one of the most interesting characters. He was set up to be a huge part of the show in the first couple of seasons. There was so much unanswered about him that seemed really interesting, and suddenly they basically just threw him off the island. We saw him a couple more times, and it was sort of insignificant at that point. He wasn't in the finale. He wasn't in the final season at all, I don't think.
The meeting with Locke in the city was very strange.
Yeah, there were a couple of odd moments here and there, and for the most part, I mean, he was just gone. And to me, that was just that was a failing on their part. And people can say, well, he got older, but how could they not see that coming? I mean, if you cast a 12-year-old kid as a 10-year-old kid, which is what they did, then in a couple of years, he's not going to seem like a 10-year-old kid anymore. So you've got to figure out a way to deal with that.
Right. No, yeah. I agree. I mean, I think that that was frustrating and that, you know, maybe they made that mistake early on and they dealt with it the best that they could. But, yeah, that is one of the more frustrating aspects of the show.
Well, you do get the sense that they didn't intend for it to go this long. I mean, that's definitely, you know, clear, I think, from some of the decisions they made. So, you know, I guess live and learn.
Right. So, well, that is sort of the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which is what something that we would have done differently with the show. So, Ken, do you have a...
Well, yeah, mine, which you already referenced, was the humans in cages subplot. I thought was an incredibly misguided idea. The whole thing just, for me, didn't work at all. I thought that was an opportunity for the creators to really get you know, creative with how this was going to be handled, with how the others would deal with them. But keeping them in cages and then the whole, you know, do manual labor until you're falling down. I mean, it was ridiculous to me. I mean, this is, again, why I almost left the show. I didn't understand where it was going or why I should care.
Right.
So
that was definitely, a low point where you felt like, and I think the creators have said something like they realized in retrospect that the characters in cages was a metaphor for how they felt about the network putting them in a cage of not knowing when the show will end or something like that.
Sorry, guys, I didn't get it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was intentional. But, yeah, no, I definitely agree, and that was absolutely the point where I thought, like, this show has lost its focus and it doesn't know what it's supposed to be about, and that was frustrating. But, again, I think by the time you get to the end of that season, it's so – the potential is opened up so much that you almost forget about that. And I'm hesitant to second guess the creators because, again, like I said, it's their vision, and I'm glad that I was able to see what they envisioned for the show rather than what fans envisioned or what a network envisioned. The one thing that I would have liked to see more of, and I think maybe could have been wrapped up without too much of a detour, was the connection between Hurley and Libby. I mean, it was one of those great cliffhanger moments where you see in the flashback that they had been in this mental institution together. And, of course, on the island they have this connection, a sort of romance. And she gets killed off, and we never really get back to that. And I realize that's one of those questions where it's like the answer is not necessarily germane to what the island is or why things happen on the island. But for me, watching the show really being about the characters and their connections to each other, I would have just liked to see more of their connection to each other. And there was a bit of closure in the final season where Libby did return in the Flash Sideways or Afterlife. And that was nice, but I feel like to find out how they were related within the backstory, within the flashbacks, would have been more satisfying to me. But honestly, I feel like it's a minor thing. And I think going through it all, I don't even really see the point in second guessing things like this because, you know, if we had done it differently, if we had done it, you know, it would have been crappy. You know,
of course. I still do think, though, there were opportunities in the last season, especially to tie bows around a few things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't have wanted a scene where, you know, Jacob, I mean, there was a scene where Jacob sat the remaining candidates down and, you know, started to tell them a few things. And I kind of thought, okay, here we go. And in a way, I didn't want to see 20-minute lecture on the history of the island and everything that we kind of wanted to know.
Right.
On the other hand, he could have said a couple of things there. There could have been a couple things here and there. And I just think it almost felt like either they, and I know this is impossible, either like they just sort of forgot, just sort of dropped the ball or sort of intentionally wanted to leave in my opinion, too many things open-ended. Right. I'm fine with some open-endedness. I think that's essential. I think it's fun and you know, it's what the show's about. But I still do think, like, too many, like, key questions were, you know, were just left sort of hanging.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's true. That's true. And there's definitely a sense that maybe with a different kind of planning, they could have wrapped it up better.
But as Spencer said also, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's clues in there that we haven't noticed that we'll see right. next time we watch it.
And hopefully that'll be the value.
And in a way, you got to give the writers credit. It's pretty brilliant. I mean, I know I'm going to watch it. You're going to watch it.
Yeah.
So there's two out of three here that are going to, you know, go back and watch all the shows.
Yeah,
so.
And I definitely think that's something that people will come back to and people who've never seen it will discover. And it's a significant work of art and a work of television, and that's the most exciting part. And I think we could probably sit here and talk about Lost for another several hours.
Of course.
But we're going to wrap things up here. So my thanks to Ken Miller and Spencer Patterson for joining me. And
thanks, Josh.
For Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right.